Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what does Poland's 10 zloty note have to do with the Jews? When we think of Jews in Poland, the first things that come to mind are often negative: anti-Semitism, pogroms, and the Holocaust. However, there are many more aspects to Jewish life in Poland throughout the years, and now Jewish religious and cultural life are thriving. This week we're beginning a series of programs about many different aspects of Jewish life in present-day Poland, and I thought it would be a good idea to begin with some historical background. Franciszek Bojanczyk studies Hebrew and history at Warsaw University. His main areas of interest are history of Zionism in Poland and contacts between Sephardic and Ashkenazi diasporas. He also cooperates with the Museum of the History of Polish Jews in Warsaw as a tour guide. He spoke with us about the history of the Jews in Poland, and this week we're offering you the first part of that interview. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today. I think a lot of our listeners really don't know very much about the history of the Jews in Poland, even though everybody knows that they were there and what happened to them. So I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about the history of the Jews in Poland, how they got to Poland, what happened, what they did there from the beginning.
Yeah, of course. It's quite difficult to sum up the history in a few words, especially 1,000 years of the Jewish history in Poland. But yeah, we have to start from it that it's a very long story. Actually, it begins in 10th century when Jews were coming to Poland from two directions. It's quite widely spread opinion that Jews came to Poland from Germany. It's only partially true, because there were some groups from Germany. There were Jews coming to Poland who were trading with Poles. But there was also another direction, the eastern one. There were Jews coming from Middle East. Even some Khazars, this fascinating empire of Khazars, were also Jewish. It's hard to say now that there is a discussion going on in Israel if they were Jewish or not, but definitely there were some mosaic elements in it. So they were Khazars or Jews coming from the eastern direction, from Middle East, so from Germany and Middle East. And of course, that what they were doing was trading with Poles. The main area on which they were working was the slave trade. They were exporting slaves from Poland, especially the Polish slaves. They were taking them from Poland, especially to Spain. There were some special groups who were taking slaves to Arab countries in Spain. They were sent by them, and this is why one of the first relations about Poland was written by Ibrahim ibn Yaqub, who was one of the merchants who came to Poland in 10th century to trade with Poles, to take slaves for his Spanish or Arab merchants and kings and so on.
These slaves were Polish people?
They were 100% Poles, but of course there were some Slovens from eastern parts, also from Russia, from Ukraine. It was a big slave trade. So we have this 10th century and people, especially Jewish merchants, trading with Poles. It was widespread, but they didn't settle down in Poland. They were mainly trading and going back to their countries. The situation changed a little bit in the 11th century. There were some small Jewish communities. We do not know almost anything about them. But one of the proofs of the Jewish past in Poland in Middle Ages are the coins which were produced by some Jewish communities for one of the first kings of Poland, Mieszko III, the king of Poland, and he was a duke, but he was believed to be the king of Poland, and the Jewish community produced for him coins. And we see some Hebrew letters on them. And this is why when you take the note, the 10 zloty note, Polish banknote, you see if you look closer, you will see some Hebrew letters. So that's one of the proofs that Jews really existed here before famous Casimir the Great period. But then we have a very interesting period in the Polish history after this coins moment, because we have in 13th century a real document which shows that Jewish community was here. I'm talking here about the privilege which was issued by Bolesław Pobożny, a Polish duke in Kalisz in 1264. This famous Kalisia privilege was a document. In this document, he enabled Jews to settle down in Poland in his duchy of Kalisia. And he even wrote there that Jews will have a right to not only to settle down, but they will be protected by law, for example, from the blood libel accusations. So it's very important. And this is a first proof that Jewish community in Poland in the Middle Ages was really here. And then we have, even before, we have first tombstones from Wrocław, the other proof, material proof that Jewish community started its being in Poland.
Are these tombstones in a museum? Where are they now?
You can find one of them, the first one, the oldest, in National Museum in Wrocław. It was, of course, before in Wrocław Jewish Cemetery, but it was moved because it was quite old. It's from the beginning of the 13th century. But it's very hard to talk about the Jewish history in the Middle Ages in Poland, because we do not have proofs of like material elements which show the Jewish presence here in Poland. So we have coins, yeah, that's what I mentioned. We have this Matzeva, and we have also this document, which was beautifully illustrated, and it's still possible to see it. It's one of the best examples of the privileges issued by Polish powers, kings or dukes. And in 13th century, the Jewish history in Poland, it's growing. This first meetings with Polish community, we can see better than before. In the 14th century, the period of Casimir the Great began, and then we see that Jewish community in Poland, it's getting stronger, not only because it's protected by Polish powers, by this famous king, Kazimierz Wielki, Casimir the Great, who gave them, who issued a lot of privileges, who secured the Jewish presence in Poland, but also there are there is a strong Jewish emigration from Germany, and this is why when you ask some people in, for example, the United States or Israel about the Jewish presence in Poland, they say, oh yeah, everything began in 14th century or maybe in 13th century. They do not know anything about the previous ages. So 14th century was very important. There were people coming from Germany, and this is probably the time when the legend, why this, we have this legend of Pauline, of Jews coming to Poland from Germany, escaping the pogroms, escaping the persecutions. Yeah, they were looking for a better place, and they found it in Poland, in Casimir the Great Poland, which was a perfect place for them. We have even another legend about Estelka. She was the lover of Casimir the Great. We are not sure is it true or not, but probably there were some Jews on the Casimir the Great court. One of the merchants, the biggest merchants, was taking care of salt in Casimir the Great country. He was also Jewish. So, yeah, 14th century, it's very important.
Yeah, you mentioned the legend of Pauline. Can you tell us about it?
Of course, yeah. So it's a legend. It's quite, as all legends are, it's connected with some divine powers. It tells us the story of Jews escaping the persecutions. It was very hard for them to live in Germany. So they were looking for a better place. They were praying. They were begging God to send them help. And finally, they got an answer. It was a small letter from the heaven with a very simple but very important message that they should go to east from Germany. So yeah, they thought it's a great idea. They have to do something. And so they went east to the territory which nowadays is Poland. And they saw a real miracle when they crossed the border, because they were instead of leaves on the trees, there were pages of Gemara, so one of the most important books. And the birds were singing a very beautiful song with one word only, Pauline, Pauline, so stay here, rest here. So probably this was the beginning of the Jewish presence in Poland. Yeah, it was gathered by Gershom Badel in the 20s in his book 13 Deures von Jiden in Poland. Probably was older than it, but it's, we have it from Gershom Badel. Yeah, so going back to our history, 14th century Jewish communities are growing, especially in Krakow, was capital of Poland at the times. And then in 15th century, we have another wave of immigration. Jews are coming to Poland, especially from Czech Republic, from Moravia, from Bohemia. There are entire communities which are escaping persecutions in South Europe. And they are coming to Krakow as well. And this is the time where, when the Jewish district in Krakow is founded, famous Kazimierz, where the Jewish culture festival is taking place. Because before, in 14th century, Jewish district in Krakow was located in the middle of the city. And then there are so many Jews in Krakow that they have to build something new. This is in the end of the 15th century, Kazimierz is founded. And there are two different towns on two different sides of the river. On one we have real Krakow, on the other we have Kazimierz and the Jewish district, which even has a special privilege, the non tolerantis Christianis. This is a Jewish answer for the privilege, the non tolerantis Judaeis, so the privilege which was issued by Polish kings, which was given to cities, and because of it, Jews couldn't settle down in cities, couldn't live there. So Jews invented a wonderful answer to it, so they were issuing the non tolerantis Christianis privilege, which forbade Christians to settle down in the cities.
Yeah, something I don't understand is that, as you mentioned, at that time, Jews came to Poland because there were pogroms and there was a lot of discrimination and anti-Semitism in all these other countries, largely because of the church. But Poland was a Christian country. It was a Catholic country. Why didn't that happen in Poland? Why would Poland accept the Jews where other countries kicked them out?
It's a hard question, but it's, I think it's like the same as it was in Spain. In Arab countries, well, of course, where Spain was part of the Arab Empire, the Islam, the religion, they didn't like Jews at all. But of course, there was this golden age of Jewish presence in Spain because they were needed. So, of course, privately, they were probably they were saying some bad things about Jews, and they wanted them to go to emigrate, and they wanted to expulse them. But they didn't do it because they were needed. They needed them to trade, for example, import slaves from Poland. And this was the same in Poland. That, of course, we do not have many proofs of pogroms or anti-Jewish doctrines or in Poland, but probably church was against Jews. But because Kazimierz the Great and other rulers of Poland, they needed Jews. So this is why they wanted them to stay. Why it didn't happen in other countries in the West, probably maybe church influence was bigger than in Poland. But we didn't have the situation as it was, for example, in the 16th century Italy, where the papal state was so against Jews that they just build ghettos and everything. In Poland it didn't happen, maybe Jews were more needed than in the Western world. But of course there were some events, for example, when John Capistran, one of the most influential figures in the history of church, especially in the Franciscan order, when he came to Wrocław, which wasn't part of Poland, it was part of the Czech and the German-speaking world. When he came to Wrocław, there was even they sent some Jews, they burned them on the stake. So there were some events where when they were trying to do some bad things to Jews, but it wasn't so difficult. In the 15th century, Jewish community is growing. They are accepting people from outside. And this is why a Jewish community in 15th century Poland is very diversified. It's multinational even. They were speaking so many languages. Probably this is why they issued the first privilege, which shows the rules which were in the Jewish community in Krakow was issued in Yiddish instead of Hebrew, because there were people coming from the German-speaking world, so Hebrew was too difficult for them. When they were accepting immigrants from outside, they wanted something to be universal. So this is why this is one of few documents, official documents issued by Jewish community, which was in Yiddish. It's quite interesting. It was in the end of the 15th century. And then we have a fascinating 16th century, and a very similar to its 17th century, which we are trying to show in our exhibition, and which is summed up in two words, Paradis Judaeorum, so the Jewish paradise in Poland, the golden age of Jewish community in Poland. Of course, there are some moments, unglorious moments, but Jewish community is growing. It's growing not only in Krakow, but in other cities of Poland, even in small cities, and maybe not even, especially in small cities. It's in the Renaissance Poland and the Baroque, the modern Poland. The Jewish community looks a little bit different than, for example, in the West. In Amsterdam, we have very big Jewish community in one city. In Poland, it's hard to find one community like this. In Krakow, there are some 10,000 Jews, but it's not so big as in Amsterdam. In Poland, the small Jewish communities are growing, especially in the eastern part of Poland, because it's easier for them to live there, to have their own community, and to trade with the Polish society. Not only Polish, because the Commonwealth of Poland, which was created in 16th century, in 1569, in Lublin, it's multinational, it's very diversified. For example, in the eastern part of Poland, the majority of people are Russians, so-called Russians. It's difficult to say if they are Ukrainians or Belarusians. There is nothing like this. They are just Russian-speaking community. And so they are trading with them. They have, for example, famous karchmas. They have some restaurants or bars. And they are doing things connected with alcohol, for example, which later on became a symbol of the Jewish community fighting against Poles in this because they were using alcohol. They wanted Poles to be drunk. Everything began in the 15th, especially in 16th and 17th century, where Jews were really doing things connected with alcohol, and they were doing it for Polish nobles. And they were sometimes working with them. They were tax collectors. And this is the other stereotype, which was later on used by anti-Jewish documents, that Jews were against the Polish majority. So this is why they were collecting taxes and everything, just to show that they are against them. Of course, they were doing it because it was lucrative and they got a lot of money from it. The Jewish communities are growing. We see a lot of synagogues. Unfortunately, most of them were ruined later on. But, for example, we have a beautiful Zamość synagogue from this very century. And the most important date in the history of Jews in 17th century Poland is, of course, the Chmielnicki uprising, which is well known by the Chmielnicki pogrom's name, but actually it was a big uprising against Polish powers in the eastern part of the country. Ukrainian Cossacks were fighting against Poles, and they were organizing pogroms, but not only pogroms of Jewish communities, but they were also fighting against other communities. They were fighting against Polish powers. So because Jewish community, as I mentioned before, some Jews were working for Polish nobles, they thought they are symbols of the Polish power. So this is why there were so many pogroms. Not because of furious anti-Semitism among Ukrainians or Cossacks, but they were symbol of the Polish presence. And the Chmielnicki pogroms was one of the reasons why Jewish communities in the East were looking for some new movement, how to respond to those tragic events. And this is why we see a very interesting messianic movement in the second half of the 17th century. Chmielnicki pogroms, the Chmielnicki uprising began in 1648. And then there are some people going, some Baal Shem, so who had this power of healing using the divine name. So they were traveling around Europe, especially in Poland, in the second half of 17th century. And there are some people who say that one of the representatives of this movement, the spiritual movement, was the famous Baal Shem Tov. So he wasn't the only Baal Shem Tov. There were a lot of people who were trying to respond to those tragic events, and they thought that Orthodox community cannot do anything about it. They have to find a new way. So in the beginning of the 18th century, new movement arose, the movement of spiritual renewal, the Hasidism, which of course later on would be named Hasidism, but it's everything started probably in the second half of the 17th century, and then with famous Baal Shem Tov, it spread over Europe from eastern part of Poland, from Podolia, which nowadays is a part of Ukraine. And this later became a symbol of a Jewish presence in Poland. We sometimes associate Jews with this black uniform, so with some strebels, and so they were, of course, Hasidim from the eastern part of Poland. There were other communities as well, but this is what became later on the symbol of the Jewish community in Poland. And if you ask somebody on the street who is a Polish Jew, is there anybody like this? Of course, it's a Hasid. Yeah, that's the 18th century Poland. But there were other movements, of course, in the 18th century Poland, which were also popular, not as popular as the Hasidism was, but of course we have Haskalah movement, Haskalah, the Jewish Enlightenment movement in Poland. It's not so popular as it was in Germany. It was popular in the western part of the country. There were some people who were trying to spread this Mendelssohn message. And in the end of the 18th century, there are some people coming to Poland to spread the message of a new Jewish movement, that we have to work with the rest of the society. We cannot just remain Jewish. We have to be citizens as well. And this is why during the same, so a parliament session, the 4 years parliament, which is very important in the Polish history, in the end of 18th century, there are some discussions going on about making from Jews citizens also, not only representatives of the Jewish community. There are some discussions, but finally Jews were not given this privilege of becoming citizens. They have the same position as they had before, but that's a symbol that something is going on, that there are some new ideas coming from the West, not only Hasidism from the East, but there is a discussion going on. The effect is that in the constitution of the 3rd of May, we do not see any changes in the Jewish life. It's sad, but they were discussing, unfortunately, they didn't decide anything. This constitution was quite influential. It's the first European constitution, the second one in the world, after the American one. Unfortunately, nothing happened. Then we have, after the constitution, we have partitions of Poland, and a very important time in the history of Jews in Poland, because Poland is divided into three parts. Prussia took one, Russia, and also Austria. And now the history of Jews in Poland is starting to change, because Prussia has different approach to Jews. Russia has its, and also it's with Prussia the same.
What year was this?
Partitions of Poland started in 1772, but there were three partitions. Then in the 90s also two waves. And in the beginning of 19th century, there is nothing like Poland on the map of Europe. So they were doing it in stages. And they began with taking small part of Poland. Poland was in a very bad condition after wars, so it was easy for them to divide it into three parts and to take some parts for the empires. And during Napoleonic Wars on the territory of Poland, France is trying to create something like Poland, the Duchy of Warsaw, a small country, but after the fall of Napoleon, even this small country falls apart, and the majority of nowadays Poland is becoming part of Russia, so-called Kingdom of Poland, but of course it's part of Russia, it's just the name of the province.
So if Poland was divided among these three empires, how did that affect Jewish life?
So there were different approaches. For example, for Russia, it was totally a new experience. The Russian Empire, they didn't have Jewish communities. So when they took Poland, they had somehow to deal with Jewish community. It was totally new for them. And they started with a big reform. They liquidated Jewish communities. In religious sense, they built a new administration, so-called Dozór Bużniczy, which was a name for some small councils. But since 1821, they introduced the reform in 1821, so in the beginning of the 19th century, there were no Jewish religious councils. They were just there were rabbis who were also state representatives. It was a big change in the Jewish life. According to some people, it was a change for bad. And for example, in Prussia, there was a liberal movement of giving Jews rights, as it was before, as it happened in Prussia. So in Prussia, so nowadays Western Poland, the Greater Poland, Poznań, for example, Jewish life is becoming more European. Jews are starting to speak German, and communities are not so big, but they are very modern and very connected with the Haskalah movement. In Russia, the Hasidic movement is growing, but they have to deal somehow with this reform. And in Prussia, it's like with the... they are trying to introduce some changes like it was in the Prussian Empire. But they have this very difficult situation that Austria occupied part of Poland, which was a little bit old-fashioned, because they have Orthodox masses of Hasidim. Austria occupied the Galicia part of Poland, so something which nowadays is Ukraine and South Poland. So they had a population which was very similar to that one which was on the Russian part. So they were trying to start a modernization among Polish Jews, but it was difficult because they were very, very Orthodox. So there are different approaches. There is also, of course, this anti-Semitic element, which is especially strong in Russian Empire. They didn't know how to respond to Jewish presence. They didn't have a clue. So sometimes they were just responding in introducing anti-Semitic laws. And they were trying to leave real, like old Russia, free of Jews, and move every Jewish community to the so-called settlement pale in Poland, just to be sure that every Jewish community, every Jew will be in the Polish territory and they will be safe. And so of course there is this anti-Semitic movement.
Next week we'll bring you the second part of our talk with Franciszek, in which he'll tell us about Jews in Poland from the end of the 19th century until today. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.